You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Dave McMiniman will join us in 2 minutes. But Linz, what do you got?
Well, guys, if you have an iPhone or an iPad, you're soon going to be able to hear it speak in your own voice, Apple announced yesterday. The upcoming feature is called Personal Voice, and it will give users randomized text prompts to generate 15 minutes of audio. There will be another new tool called Live Speech, which lets users type in a phrase and save commonly used ones for the device to speak during phone and FaceTime calls or in-person conversations.
I have a question.
Sure.
Question. Does it have to be your voice, or could you have it attach someone else's voice?
Right. Can I use George's voice?
Yeah.
No, I would definitely not use yours. That's for sure.
No, I want to use yours. Oh, I'm going to use yours for all kinds of stuff.
So it's called machine learning, and it says that what they do is they like get the voice from the prompts that they're going to give you. So they're basically going to give you a script and tell you to read all this stuff, and then they're going to keep it and store it internally. So that way, like, I can't just have like George Sedano's voice floating around on the Apple sphere and use that. You know what I mean? So it's unique to your device. So yes, you could theoretically use someone else's, but they would have to speak the prompts into your phone.
Right. They'd have to go through the script.
Yes.
I'm not doing the script, Kepi.
Come on.
I'm going to do it because I feel like I want to hear what it sounds like.
Yeah, I want to record you do this for me, and then I'm going to take it and cut it, edit it, have it saying all the things I want it to say with your voice.
It's going to be life soon enough.
This new thing called machine learning, huh?
Yeah. All right, that is what you need to know. Brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Lynn's going to get Dave on. What do you want to say about machine learning? Are you scared of the computers?
No, not really. Although I do find that a lot of people seem to be freaked out by like the ChatGPT thing, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of people are worried that it's going to replace them, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
Probably. Yeah.
I feel you.
Cappy, it's
taking
away.
You're not worried about AI?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, should I be? Should I be worried about AI?
Yes.
I mean, you never know. What if the computers turn on you?
I know, but didn't I see you send a tweet the other day, maybe it was even earlier today, where somebody was giving you a hard time about something? You're like, bro, I got so much more to going on in my world right now. I don't have time for this nonsense.
Okay,
like,
that's fair. Like, let's ask McMiniman.
Do I have AI? I can't be worried about AI, George.
McMiniman, are you worried about the computers coming to kill us all?
I mean, I don't think it's happened in my lifetime. We're all going to go somehow, right? I mean, yeah. And honestly, if that's the way we go, we all deserve it. Because we allow this to happen, haven't recognized that as a humanity, we are just spiraling out of control and don't recognize it or just accepting our fate.
So. Well, Dave, think about it like this. Think about it from your own perspective. What if the Lakers were having a conversation in their front office and the computer heard somebody say something like, hey, we don't want to lose D'Angelo. And then the AI puts out its own report. Hey, I was listening in. I was listening in on so-and-so's conversation. That's what
like
they told me.
Yeah, it's like your Alexa's reporting all of a sudden, right? Because your Alexa's hearing all everything you're saying anyway, right?
Right.
I mean, now you guys are sounding like dirty tricks in the Watergate scandal. I mean, that stuff was going on. It was much more rudimentary technology, but certainly that stuff gone on in the past.
All right, so let's talk about this D'Angelo Russell report. For those that haven't heard it, what was your report last night and in your story? And I saw you on television on SportsCenter say it as well.
Yeah, the Lakers have a size disadvantage with the starting lineup they put out in game one against this Nuggets team. You're talking about 6'11", Jokic, 6'10", Michael Porter Jr., 6'8", 6'9", Aaron Gordon. Darvin Ham went with a backcourt that he trusted in the 6'1" Dennis Schroeder and the 6'4" D'Angelo Russell for various reasons. If you upgrade size-wise, one of those two guys go to the bench. Dennis Schroeder stays in the starting lineup, you get more of a defensive thrust. D'Angelo stays in the starting lineup, more offensive thrust. But his offense wasn't there either in game one. And so I spoke to several team sources who talked about the conundrum that they have here. If they want to go back to Jared Vanderbilt, perhaps in the starting lineup, or maybe Rui Hachimura earned it based on his game one performance on both ends, you got to bench one of those two guards. Schroeder's a guy we know can handle going to the bench. He's already been there and still performing. If the decision is D'Angelo, will he be able to accept it in the context of this is going to help the team versus taking it as a personal demotion? And that was the conversation that was being had among some people within the team, and I shared in that conversation and reported on that.
Dave, I'm curious, when you say that, just so people understand, because I actually am curious also, like, are you standing there and having this conversation? Or are you actually asking about it? And if you're asking about it, I'm curious, like, what leads you to wonder, can D'Angelo handle this? Like, we all talked about the ego that, you know, the previous Russell had on this team, Westbrook. But was there something that was leading you to believe that D'Angelo would have an ego issue?
Nowhere in my reporting was ego used, and my AI program didn't tell me to ask the question. I have many, many conversations in the context of any night or any day or any shoot around or practice or post-game scenario, and you listen to what you're being told.
Fair enough.
Well, I guess what I'm just trying to understand is, though, is that, like, I personally would rather be about a team guy. You know, and I'm just wondering, like, why are people, are there indications that D'Angelo could not handle this, that he would look at it as a demotion?
I don't have an answer for you. What I have is my reporting, which I've already shared.
There you go.
McMiniman. That's the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, he's told.
What do you want me to say here? What do you want me to say? What I reported was that there's a question being asked by team sources whether he can handle it. So how do I know whether he can handle it or not if the guys on the team with him don't know if he can handle it or not?
Right.
Well, I don't know either, but I'm kind of disappointed to hear it, frankly, to be honest with you.
Well, that's a different conversation. I think I think there's probably a lot of people, listening to that or hearing that or reading that today and saying, like, really, dude, at this time,
maybe I can provide a little extra context here.
Did we lose him?
He was just saying, I'm just about to add some extra context, and
damn
then all
it.
Of a sudden he's gone.
I thought I was hoping.
I thought I got knocked off.
Me too. I thought I dropped off here in Denver. I don't hear him.
I don't know, man. He was just about to say something really good, too.
Yeah. All right, just hang up on him, Lindsay, and call him back.
He said, I'm about to lend some context.
I know. I love how he goes back at you, though. I think it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, I'm not trying to be a jerk about it. I'm just trying to understand, like,
right.
I don't
you
know
also have to understand,
Russell's
like, he's a reporter. He's only going to tell you what, you know, he's kind of like already told you. He's not going to give you an opinion on something he's not familiar with. He's telling you what the people inside are telling you.
I understand. But my question was trying to be like, so, dude, are you going to them and going, hey, let me ask you a question?
No, he said no. That's not the answer.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and the answer to that is no.
But that's interesting. That's interesting for people to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, McMiniman, you were about to add context, and then all of a sudden, the Zapruder film people and Watergate cut you off.
Yeah, you were about to say something important. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so the point was, if the interpretation is ego, that was never involved in my story. So that is a misinterpretation. The context I would provide is the question mark isn't that, is D'Angelo Russell selfish or is D'Angelo Russell not about the right things? It's would D'Angelo Russell lose confidence if he was given that role?
Right.
If he was viewed as a demotion? Would he get in his own head? And would he not be able to provide the same type of lift he's provided as a starter? And you ride out a bad game, even if you are maybe worried that it isn't the right type of matchup for him based on his style of play, based on his size, in the hopes that he'll figure it out a little bit and we're going to need him in the long run. And so we deal with these ebbs and flows versus there's been other players on the roster we've seen get a minute or get a role or get a kind of spot in the rotation and lose that spot in the rotation. And there's not the same question, or at least if there were those questions, they weren't presented to me in my reporting, of whether that player would then be able to get back to being effective.
Well, and to add more, even more, and to add even more context to that, D'Angelo Russell, outside of his rookie year with the Lakers and when he first got traded to Minnesota, has basically been a full-time starter the entirety of his career, outside of those two blips in his career. So I can understand the confidence question about himself in that scenario. By the way, this is me adding this, like going into a contract year. Like I think that some of that stuff can swirl in people's heads. Now, let me ask you this. If you were like, I would make the move because I'm all about like this time of year. And I think this is where cap is too. Like, I just think you got to do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying? To get past every series, you can't worry about needing him later because you may not get to later. Right. That's kind of my position on it. And you massage that when you get there, if you have to. So I would potentially play Schroeder and Rui. Or Rui in that scenario, right? Like, I think that they need to go bigger. Like, I think that when they went three-guard lineup yesterday before the game, my antenna went up and was like, oof, I know how much Lakers Twitter already hates this lineup to some extent. I know it worked against Golden State, but I feel like this is the wrong team to do this against. And I don't know about you. I'm curious to get your thoughts. How much of that do you believe played into the poor start?
Well, I think if you're going to do it, you got to do it and execute the game plan. The reason why Darvin Ham decided to go that route is, one, that certainly he trusts Dennis Schroeder defensively more than just about any other player outside of Anthony Davis on this team. But also, he kind of told us afterwards, our intention was to push the pace and get out and run, even on made baskets from Denver. And we didn't do that. And so that lineup playing that way isn't necessarily as much of a problem. But if you're getting into the half court and you are getting exposed size-wise on both ends, then there's no advantage of playing that way. And Darvin, when I asked him today, kind of his terminology throughout the season is when he considers his starters versus his bench players, it's about balancing out the right mix for both groups. And so say he goes with Rui in the starting lineup. Well, now you're missing 17 points off the bench that he gave you in game one. And are you going to enhance your starters to a certain degree and completely deplete your best bench option from game one? And that's why he kind of said, like, hey, it's not like we got blown out. It's not like we weren't competitive. We very well might just need to do the things we were supposed to do and intended to do better. Do the things we did in the second half, starting in the first half. And well, so, again, that's why when I report something that I did after game one, it's not, you know, my job is to use the access and information I have to allow fans, listeners, viewers to better understand what's going on with the team. Just because a team is having an internal conversation, one, it doesn't mean it's negative, and two, it means that they recognize that this is a puzzle that has to be figured out on a constant basis. And part of that puzzle is making sure that you are protecting people's mindset so they can be as effective as possible as the Lakers hope to march through the playoffs and get 8 more wins towards the championship.
Okay, sure. So no, I'm your reader. Dave, I'm just your reader, and my interpretation is my interpretation. You know what I'm saying? And so when I use words like ego, well, I read
yeah,
it
you're
as...
Also, you're also a radio host, though.
Yeah, right.
So then you're taking your interpretation and sharing it with others.
Yeah, that's fine. What's wrong with that?
But that's why we bring you on to give the real context.
Right. I just think that we started this conversation, Cap, with like the insinuation that this is a negative moment for the team. When actually, to me, it shows it's a team that is self-aware.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I just read it and I was like, listen, you can't be worried about yourself right now. You have to worry about the team. Whatever it takes, coach. Coach, you want me to come off the bench? I'll come off the bench. Coach, you want me to start? I'll start. You know, whatever the team needs me to do is what I'll do. And I feel like when I read it, it was okay. Like, hey, we got to walk on eggshells around this guy.
But let me jump in, Dave, because what I think the disconnect is, you're telling people what the organization is thinking. And the reaction has been, oh, it's D'Angelo that definitely feels, like the assumption that people are jumping to the conclusion that it's D'Angelo that feels this way, when it's the organization, to your point, trying to think this ahead, right? And potentially think, well, what does that mean for him? How does he feel? What would his right. feelings be like in that scenario? That's the disconnect here.
Right. And anticipating cause and effect. And
right.
that's from knowing or gaining some sort of knowledge of the player that he is. And again, I don't, none of the two sources I spoke to for the story, it was not saying, oh, this guy, he's so egotistical. If he doesn't hear D'Angelo Russell in the starting lineup, man, like he's going to, you know, he's going to go one way and the 14 other guys are going to go the other. It's more so he's a guy who's at a formative stage of his career playing in the biggest basketball games he's ever played in. And if it looks like the organization is not standing behind him, where could his head go?
Right.
Does he start thinking about what could happen in the offseason where all of a sudden, rather than making $30+ million per year in Los Angeles, he's moving on to his fifth team in 7 years or whatever it would be.
Totally understand. I mean, that's a very reasonable human reaction, right? I get it. But I think that now that we have the clarification of where this is all... where this is all coming from, now it makes way more sense, right? And I think that people should stop jumping to conclusions, all right? Listen to the actual words, people. Read the actual words, all right? Damn it.
I know, I read them, and then I just came up with what I wanted it to be.
I've yelled at everyone for you, Dave. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, it's fine. I think it's a healthy conversation. I
agree.
There is a level of, you know, adjustments and considering all of the fallout of any adjustment actually, to me, shows the sign of a team that is thinking of the 360 view of things.
Yeah, yeah,
versus
I get it.
My way, the highway, et cetera, et cetera. That, to me, is more of a knee-jerk type of team. And I don't think knee-jerk type of teams would advance as far as a team that actually carefully considers every option available to them.
Dave McMiniman does a phenomenal job covering the Los Angeles Lakers for ESPN. Kind enough to join us here from time to time and put up with our nonsense and create actual content and context for these conversations. Dave, I will see you tomorrow, man. Talk to you soon.
I'm with you, Dave.
Yeah, sure. See you guys. Yep, thanks, Cap.
See ya. All right. A lot to unpack there.
A lot.
And I think that maybe we should all look at ourselves in the mirror. And be like, hey, why did we jump to conclusions?
How about Dave should look in the mirror?
All right, well, maybe. We'll find out. We'll discuss that later in a moment. We're way over the break. Laura's been texting us to wrap for like 10 minutes. We'll be back in two.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Walnuts are very healthy for you. Good for your gut health. Yeah. Good for your gut health. Good for your heart. Reducing blood pressure. It's great stuff.
You know, I am still trying to get Taylor Swift tickets.
Cappy, I got a funny story. Let me jump in here real quick.
All right.
I got Hey King for Taylor Swift tickets the other day.
No way. From who?
My aunt from Cleveland.
And was she want them for SoFi Stadium?
No. She wanted that. She goes, I know Taylor Swift isn't going to be in Cleveland, but she's going to be in Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, and Philadelphia, and Detroit. So if you know anybody that might be able to get me and Lena a ticket, they're like $2,000 online. And I was like, yeah, no.
Well, it's funny you say that because my daughter, who's 16, is like, Dad, Taylor Swift in Pittsburgh. We have to go. And I'm like, the tickets could probably be had. it's the airfare and the hotel. That's going to be harder to get for free, you know? But I'll tell you what, those Taylor Swift tickets in Pittsburgh, I think I got those wired right now. I had to call in a Hey King. I'm like, yo, King, you got a couple of Taylor Swifts for me?
Some Tay-Tay?
You're right. He's like, yeah, I got them. I got them for you.
And?
And so now it's like I got to figure out, can I really get my kid to Pittsburgh in mid-June?
Well, if you can't, wow, then I'll take those tickets for my aunt and my
there
cousin.
$2,000 a ticket.
Oh, but you got them for free, bro?
Yeah, but not. But for Lindsay, yes. Aunt, come on. You can't.
I mean,
hey,
my
King, hey,
asking.
King.
My aunt.
You can't hey King the King?
You know, you can't do
you
two
can't
generations.
Hey King someone who hey King, is
right,
what you're saying.
You can't do double hey King.
I will say, she's one of the few people I would like use a Hey King on because she is a very wonderful aunt. Has helped me out a lot. And plus, my uncle is no saint.
Okay, that's different. That's different.
And my little cousin, she's like 13.
All right. Okay, her too, huh?
And you know what? Cappy's actually coming through, which is rare for the Hey King. So, you know, that's cool.
Well, it hasn't come through yet.
I mean, also, Cappy, I have an idea. What if they all go together? If I tell
queen.
My aunt, she pays for the hotel, and you got to get like a suite or like, you know, get a nice spacious room. You get the tickets, and you guys could go together.
I'm going to stay in the same room with your aunt?
Sure. She won't care. She's taking the kid to Taylor Swift. They'll probably leave afterwards and go home. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Rachel gonna care, though. That's what I'm just saying.
I know, right? That don't seem right.
I think this could happen, Cappy. We'll have to talk about this.
Yeah, we will. So, George, let me ask you a question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
What'd you think of Dave McMiniman? He doesn't... Not happy with me, is he? He gets very upset with me.
I wouldn't say that.
Wouldn't say that? What would you say?
I just think that Dave was just trying to correct the record. And I think that's important, too.
Well, he gets like, testy, you know?
Hey, that's fine. I get testy with you, too, so what?
I know, but here's the thing.
He is reporting, you know?
I know, but let me tell you guys something.
Listen, he's a reporter. He takes himself very seriously. He's not you and me who can be rodeo clowns.
Right, but here's the thing. I'm reading his work. Let me read for you what he wrote for people who didn't read it. You ready? I'll read it to you, and this is where my interpretation came from.
Go ahead.
And McMiniman writes, Russell, meaning D'Angelo, who shot just 4-for-11 and played only 9 minutes in the second half after registering a plus-minus of -23 in 17 first-half minutes, would naturally be under consideration. However, multiple team sources told ESPN that there is a concern that the team could lose the 27-year-old point guard if he views the adjustment as a demotion after starting every other game this postseason. I'll end it right there. I, as his reader, my interpretation of that is, wait a second. You just made the case. He shot poorly. His plus minus in the 17 minutes was -23. They need to increase size, so they may decide to put him on the bench, but they're worried they may lose him. And my interpretation on that is they're tiptoeing around this young man's ego. And my other interpretation is I'm a team guy. Hey, coach, if you tell me we need more size and you're going to put me on the bench, then tell me when to come into the game. So it to me, as the reader, it sounded like D'Angelo's feelings would be hurt. It didn't sound like the organization is trying to manage his feelings. It sounded more D'Angelo
to
me.
Here's what I would say to you.
Go ahead.
Is that initially I took it the exact same way, which I said in that interview. And now when I hear Dave and you read it to me again, now I hear exactly what he's saying. He's saying the team. He never once referenced Russell outside of his night last night. So if you actually are reading it literally, which is what I guess we're supposed to do, not have an interpretation. We're supposed to read it literally because it's a report. A report is to be read literally, which was also my flaw because I've been hanging out with you too long.
Yeah, it must be the problem.
That it rubbed off because I did not read it literally. And now when he says what he says, you reread it to me. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes total sense what Dave is saying now.
I actually can't believe I'm going to say this, but having reread it, and having heard from Dave, I too could see where Dave wanted me to get this, but I took this away the first time I read it.
Right, but because what this is a lesson is, okay, and I'm guilty of it just like you, is we all want confirmation bias, okay? And what has happened over the last decade, not just in this country, in the world, okay? Not to get too existential on everyone, is that we are all so tribal. Even about things such as so trivial, like D'Angelo Russell starting in the game or not, that we have made up our mind on what an interpretation is of something when it shouldn't be that way. A report should be taken literal. This isn't an op-ed. This isn't Dave McMiniman. No. He's not doing Bill Plaschke, right, where he's giving you like his opinion. Maybe he's mixing in some reporting in there. This is a literal report, should be taken literally. And when he's mentioned, to your point, when you reread it, you're like, oh, yeah, I get it. We probably should have read it that way.
Multiple team sources told ESPN that there is a concern the team could lose the 27-year-old point guard if he views the adjustment as a demotion after starting every other game as postseason.
And if he would have said, Russell or people in his team, or you know, his personal team, his agent, whatever, would be worried about that. If he says that, then that's literal. Then it's D'Angelo. Like, for sure, it's D'Angelo.
If he adds one other sentence where he says something like, you know, the team is very concerned that, you know, this, and if he just gives me just a little bit more, then it's not open to interpretation.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, when you reread it, it was pretty cut and dry after you reread it, after listening to his context. Because again, we're just applying our own sensibilities to reporting, which is not what the purpose of reporting is.
Right, but I don't understand what he gets so upset at me for.
Which is why he's getting upset, because he's applying his journalistic sensibilities and thinking you should also understand that's where he's coming from, because he's not a radio host like you, which is why he said, but you're a radio host, so your interpretation means you're going to spread that interpretation.
That's right.
When he's trying to correct the record and explain to you your interpretation is inaccurate, you should take it literal, because it's exactly what I wrote is the way it should be read and the way it should be understood. And that's why he used the phrase, I stand by my reporting. I have nothing else to say.
You know what? I'll tell you right now, Dave. Good luck trying to get everybody to read it exactly as you expected them to read it.
Well, it's not expected. He's right. We're the ones that are all wrong here, because we're applying, again, our own interpretation. It's not to be interpreted. It's to be read literally.
McMiniman.
It's not a figurative thing. It's a literal thing. McMiniman. Do you understand that now? McMiniman. You get that concept?
I'm going to have to work with McMiniman. I'm going to have to work with him. I'm going to have to sit down with him. Maybe open up
Lindsay,
a Word doc.
Laura, do you guys get what I'm saying now?
I do. Yeah. But again, like, Dave is a reporter, and so he only sees things as black and white, and he's reporting the facts. Like, it's not his job to have an opinion or to editorialize whatsoever. So while I understand why you may misinterpret something, I feel like you did once he explained it, right? Yeah.
It's more of Cappy likes to embellish and think outside the box and, you know, throw sprinkles on everything. He wants things to be extra.
I think Dave,
exactly, Laura. That's the perfect way to describe it.
Exactly. That's like, you know, you're kind of also maybe trolling him a tiny bit, but like, you know.
You know what it is? I don't think you're trolling him.
I will say, question though.
I do think this. I do think this.
Yeah.
Your tone comes across like you're trolling him.
Yeah.
Because
you do this thing.
If you listened back to yourself, do this thing where you're like,
what do I do?
Well, Dave, let me explain to you my interpretation of this. Blah, 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 blah.
Right. Because Dave, you wrote it, and I'm your reader.
Right. But what he's trying to tell you is, which is what I tried to surmise at the end, was just like, you're not supposed to interpret it. You're supposed to read it literally.
Oh, well.
Thanks, Dave. Dave would tell you.
I didn't know. King, my big.
Well, now you know. It's a report, take it literal.
Yeah, Cap, I was going to say, I think that maybe like you need to sit down and have a coffee,
maybe actually drinks
with him, you know, and be like, hey, you know.
Oh, he's a good drinker, though. You could probably do that.
He's a good drinker.
Well, I was thinking that maybe he and I could sit down and we could talk about the craft of writing, you know, and I could explain, and then I could read for him in advance what he writes, and I could tell him where I'm having some questions.
Yeah, no, that definitely.
Serious question. Cappy, what do you have against Dave? Because just the other day you were accusing him of seeking LeBron and AD's approval over his votes, right?
Is that having something against Dave?
I don't know. I feel like the way that you said it, you're like, why does he got to do that?
Well, I mean, I told you what I would do. I'd go up to LeBron and say, LeBron, fill it out for me.
But Dave is a reporter. I think he worries, maybe, I could be wrong, but to me, maybe he's like Ramona or Windhurst, where they worried that a conversation with you on the radio is going to get aggravated, aggregated and then misinterpreted and written about by everybody, and then they got a whole headache on their hands.
Well, I misinterpreted what he said. My interpretation was that the Lakers were very worried that D'Angelo Russell's ego would get bent out of shape. What Dave is saying is that, no, they're trying to manage a young guy and not let it turn into something that turns him into a negative guy or a guy that's worried about
by
his contract.
Way, and that seems reasonable. Dave is in a no-win situation here because he's reporting the stuff he's hearing, which is his job, okay? And then everyone's interpreting it when he's like, no, don't interpret it. This is literally what I'm writing. This is how you should take it. And then fans, because they're it's short for fanatic, are mad at him because he's writing this thing right now. Why are you writing this thing that someone told you because it's your job to write that thing? Because it hurts my team potentially. Why are you doing this thing that I don't want you to do?
You know what I would do? If I were the Lakers guys that gave this little nugget to Dave, I'd be like, why am I having this conversation in front of you right now? I mean, why do I need this out there?
All right. You know what? We're going to do world-renowned, award-winning radio Tinders next. How about that?
I'm in. You got me.
All right,
I'm
let's
in.
Do it.
Thanks, Christopher. This is a good song. I also had a 90210 doll, just like the New Kids on the Block doll.
Me too.
No. Oh, wow.
I had Donna and Dylan. Those were the dolls I had.
I had all the boys.
Of course you did.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so this is a very interesting one, and I want to get your guys' opinion on. Montana has officially become the first U.S. state to ban TikTok after their governor signed the bill into law today. The law is set to take effect in January 2024 and is likely to be challenged. Governor Gianforte tweeted out today, quote, to protect Montanans' personal and private data from the Chinese Communist Party, I have banned TikTok in Montana. Now, I did see that a recent survey published in the New York Times of over 100,000 Americans said that half of them feel that TikTok is a threat to national security. So do you guys think that TikTok is a threat to national security? Swipe left or swipe right, George.
I don't know enough about TikTok and their relationship with China to have an informed opinion on this. I'll just say this, okay? Without saying that, I'm not trying to equate our own companies here in the U.S. With a communist regime. So I'm going to say that on the front end, okay? But we have all given up our personal information to all these companies.
Right.
And some of them will misuse it in ways that we don't want to happen. So that, while I don't think that China should certainly have it, I would agree with that. But I don't have an informed enough an opinion about their relationship with the country to have more than an opinion other than what I just gave you, which is, hey, you know, we kind of do a really bad job because we like shiny things and we want things at our convenience to just give up our information very easily. And we've done that with Google and all sorts of other places, too.
Yeah, I think it's kind of funny. The question that you asked, Lindsay, is TikTok a threat to national security? My answer is yeah. Yeah, it kind of is. And by the way, so is everything else. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter,
but
LinkedIn.
I want to point out that I don't know the exact number, but there was on that documentary, it's called like For Terms and Conditions. That's what it's called. It would take like 3 months to actually read through the entire terms and conditions of TikTok. That seems a little problematic.
Well,
sure. I would agree with that.
I'm with George. We have chosen to give up all of our information. I mean, even me, like my Life 360, we don't think of that as a social network, but everybody can find out where I'm at. Even if you go on your iPhone to find everybody can find where you're at. I don't know.
You have to get like hacked for that to happen, but you know, which I have been recently. So I get it. Mm. Had to freeze my credit and everything. It's such a pain in my butt.
Not fun. I get it.
It's not. Someone's selling my social security number on the dark web or something.
Oh, that's brutal.
Worst. Yeah, it's the worst.
What's next, Linz?
All right. So dancers at a LA bar could soon become the only unionized group of strippers in the U.S.
I did see this story, though.
Yeah.
Do it, girls. So do it.
I'm far more informed on this than on TikTok's relationship with China.
Of course you are. So this has been going on for about 15 months, and the Actors Equity Association labor union says that owners of the Star Garden Topless Dive Bar in North Hollywood have withdrawn their opposition and agreed to recognize the strippers union. So for 15 months, these dancers have been trying to get safer workplace conditions, better pay, and health insurance, among other benefits. But their unionization drive was stalled by objections and legal challenges. But it looks like they've agreed to a settlement, and the formal hearing will be set tomorrow. So we'll know for sure tomorrow.
Okay, is there anything we can do to help support these young ladies in their battle to gain union membership, that they can become a union shop? And now it's only a topless place, correct?
Correct. Well, that's what it says.
It's not bottomless at all.
Star Garden Topless Dive Bar. I do believe that the law has something to do with like topless only and serving alcohol.
Yeah.
That's right. If you're bottomless, you can't serve alcohol. So I'm only halfway supporting this.
Well, yes. In that municipality.
That's probably the right call too, by the way, Cappy. Just saying.
I don't know. I'm only halfway supporting this.
Okay. I mean, it depends on what, you know, there are different states and municipalities that, you know, are more of a free-for-all when it comes to that.
Yeah, I'm more into
when it comes to the combination of alcohol and nudity.
Having it, like, you know, playing it on the safe side is definitely not, like, a bad thing, you know.
No, but I'm not interested.
Okay. So now you don't want to support them anymore.
No, only halfway.
No, good for the girls. I'm supporting the girls. I'm big on unionizing. I am part of a union, so I support the girls.
Is there any chance that we could get the girls to join our union?
Oh, for the love.
Well, it's so it's not SAG-AFTRA, obviously, but it's the Actors Equity Union. So it's like, you know.
The AEU?
Maybe someday they'll merge and then, you know, you can use your connections and whatever you want to do there, Cappy.
All right. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome.
You got any more?
I do.
Come on. Hook us up.
Sorry that my computer right here. Okay. So I hope my dad is not listening because he often listens to Radio Tinder. So, Dad, if you are, please turn your radio down.
Oh, he's turning it up, girl.
Oh, no. Daddy baseball.
No,
he's definitely turning.
He'll listen. This is about a birthday present. So my dad recently turned 70, and I won't see him for a couple more weeks. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of debating on, like, besides, you know, like the sentimental gift that I got him, I want to get him a nice, good pair of Nike sneakers because my dad just... I'm pretty sure that he has like Ken Griffey Jr. Jordans from back in the day. He'll just wear like whatever he finds in like his closet from 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. He's horrible style when it comes to shoes. Mm-hmm. So I want to ask you guys, since you guys are both kind of sneakerheads, what'd be a good pair of sneakers that I can buy my dad that's just like, they're casual, they're cool, they kind of go with everything, like somewhat dressy, also casual, sporty outfits. Like what's a good pair?
How old is your dad?
He's 70.
Get him some Jordan Lowe's. Jordan 1 Lowe's.
No, I feel like
they look too cheesy on him because, you know, he's like 70-year-old white guy grandpa, you know?
He's a former radio engineer, this guy.
Yes, exactly.
You know what he needs?
What does he need?
He needs a pair of black Air Force Ones.
No.
Yes. For the love of God.
It's true, George.
I would never.
George, the man needs a pair because they're kind of dressy and they can sort of just go with anything. And then people are like, oh, this is kind of cool. He's got on some black Air Force Ones. But he's like, yeah, don't they look good with everything?
Come on, Copy.
Seriously, he don't want no smoke,
so,
your dad.
He doesn't want no smoke, but I also don't want to bring my dad any smoke. You know, I feel like there's an assumption that goes along with them. And so I want to get him a pair that's like cool. Like Dunks are too much because I feel like they just, I don't know, I feel like that's too much. And so the white Air Force Ones, also too cheesy on like a 70-year-old, you know, dad. I don't know, just doesn't sit right with me. So I need something in between that's like people are going to notice them, but not in a bad way, but also not too flashy.
Yeah. Well, maybe the people in the community can help you then.
Yeah. Tweet at me, at Lindsay Baseball.
There you go. Radio Tinder is presented by Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala, award-winning small batch premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves, available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com. So demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. All right, Cappy, coming up next, Wemby Mania hit yesterday during the lottery. And it's funny because immediately everyone on social media had one reaction. I'll tell you what that is in just a second.
Where's my man Sedano?
I think he went to get a drink. Not alcohol.
He's in this radio station in Denver. I know where he's at. And by this time of the evening, probably everybody's gone. Concerned that he could have locked himself out. You know what I mean?
Oh, because no one's ever done that before on this show, right, Cap?
I know, right.
All for some good old Cleveland tacos, right?
Those are good Cleveland tacos.
Hey, by the way, they were recently, I showed you guys the
you did.
The screenshot. They were recently voted in a national United States-wide poll of best tacos.
Cool.
I mean, what PR agency did they hire to get that?
Cappy said it.
I mean, come on. For real.
I know where Sedano is. He's watching the game.
Well, Sedano did say before he hit this break that he wanted to talk about Wemby Mania. And was anybody watching last night the whole NBA draft lottery before the game?
I turned on the game like 15, 20 minutes beforehand because I just wanted to see what they're talking about. And I thought it was amazing / fantastic that Brian Windhorst was in Paris to talk to him as soon as they announced the lottery winner. That was awesome.
It was like, let's go over to Wendy.
George, yeah, and by the way, Dead Meow 5, go to hell.
What happened with Dead Meow 5? What did he do?
He's sitting there saying, oh, Wendy's latching on to Wemby now that LeBron's career is winding down. No, the company sent him there, doofus.
So go to hell?
Yeah, go to hell, Dead Meow 5.
How many people today in the circle of trust have you told to go
Everyone,
to hell?
Everyone. All of them.
By the way,
I already tweeted that. They all know where they can go.
Brian may have went there because the company sent him there. I feel like Woj is the one that was getting a lot of heat yesterday. Like,
right, because he said he was the greatest prospect potentially in sports history.
Yeah, yeah. So,
well, what's wrong with that?
People were freaking out.
You could say same thing, Dead Meow, about Woj, right? I don't know.
Yeah, but hold on. But wait, look, you have a guy in this Wembanyama. Now, look, I'm not sitting here telling you I've seen a whole bunch of his games. All I've seen is the videos that everybody else has seen on TV, you know? But when you're 7'4" and you seem to be able to kind of do everything, shoot from outside, play the center position, block shots, pass the ball, dunk the ball, you know, be athletic. I'll say this. I mean, for me, like, I think these super tall, skinny guys are all bound to get hurt all the time, you know? I mean, he's just so big and long and lanky, he's just bound to get hurt. Now, prove me wrong. Okay, great. Good for you.
So you're like Bergman now? You're going to be anti-Wemby?
Oh, no, I'm not anti-Wemby. I'm pro-Wemby. I'm very pro-Wemby. I think any guy who's got a wingspan that goes the entire length of the floor, that's interesting to me. But I thought that last night, Wendy being in Paris to interview Wemby, I thought it was freaking hilarious, George. Like, they flew Brian Windhorst to Paris so that at 2 o'clock in the morning local time, he can say something to him like, hey, you just saw San Antonio get the number one pick. What are your emotions? You know? Or, hey, Wemby, what are the Spurs fans getting?
But isn't that what you're supposed to do when you're the worldwide leader in sports?
Oh, yeah, dude, it's awesome. If I'm Wendy, I'm like, wait, you guys want me to go to Paris to go interview this kid at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's 5 o'clock back here in the United States? Yes, Wendy, that's what we want you to do. Count me in. I'm in. I'll go to Paris. Sounds great.
Yeah, I was wondering why he wasn't on the Hoop Collective podcast on Monday morning, but now we know.
Now you know why. I also think that the reaction was hilarious. Everybody's like, this is rigged! And I'm like, really?
What's
Everything
rigged?
Everything is rigged now? They why said the rigged? Lottery is rigged.
Why?
Because it was the Spurs.
Michael did say he wanted anybody but the Spurs to win it.
He did.
Of course he doesn't want it. I mean, you don't want a good organization if you're someone who works with the Lakers to get him.
He wanted the Hornets to get him. Or
right, because he's far away in Charlotte, and you only have to see him twice a year.
Or Texas. Just saying.
Why? I still am not clear on why anybody would say this is rigged because it's San Antonio. What is the
Because league? Everyone thinks everything is rigged now. Everything is rigged. Somebody loses an election? Rigged. Somebody loses their softball game? Rigged.
Well, softball games, there can be a lot of rigging going on.
I was just going to say that exactly.
You know, but
somebody loses at pickleball? Rigged.
Well, that also, I mean, those guys that came up and mopped the floor with you and me, those guys were a bunch of cheaters. Make no mistake. Those guys were cheaters, George.
Somebody loses their councilman election? Rigged.
Somebody looks over at their dugout in the middle of an at-bat, then hits a home run? Cheating.
Wait, that kind of was that, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was kind of a thing, actually.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Oh.
If you're talking about Aaron Judge, yes. Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. I love that stuff. I didn't get voted PTA president. Rigged. I mean, it's just like, stop with that stuff.
That's but like,
I mean,
the Travis and Sliwa show saying that the whole Mandy's was rigged because they didn't win any awards.
Wow. I mean, there you go. Another perfect example.
We could argue that it was actually just the opposite, but, you know.
I just feel like, why would people think that San Antonio getting the first overall pick?
Because they've only been in the lottery two other times, and they both got the number one pick.
Oh.
Or, right. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. They've been in the lottery more than that. But when they got in the lottery and they won it, it happened to be generational big men who were there and available for them.
But, I mean, can you imagine, like, everybody's like, hey, well, the NBA wanted to take care of Popovich. The NBA didn't want Popovich to go out looking like a loser. He's one of the all-time greatest coaches in the league, but the guy hasn't won in ages. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to get him the number one pick, who's a generational talent. Yeah, I'm sure that's exactly what they did. Because he's going to coach for the next 15 years, isn't he? I mean, check yourself, conspiracy theory guy.
Wow.
How about that?
I like that.
Yeah. Check yourself, conspiracy theory draft guy.
Do you think that the LeBron draft was rigged for Cleveland?
Oh, for sure, 100%.
That one 100% was, yeah, for sure. No doubt about it.
Naturally. I mean,
whatever, haters.
Listen, you call us haters, but I'll tell you this right now. Yeah. Last night, when the Lakers are getting blown out, there's one of us who's kind of thinking the sky is falling. And then there's two of us who are kind of like,
well, I don't think sky is falling. Why are you mischaracterizing what I'm saying?
Oh, I wasn't talking about you. Is that what you felt? Did you feel like the sky was falling?
No, I just I didn't feel that at all.
You. I wasn't talking about
then
you.
Then who are you talking about?
I was talking about Morales.
Oh.
You know, I was talking about me and Lindsay, ultimate optimists.
Yeah.
All right, maybe
by the way,
I was talking about
you. If the lottery was rigged, why wouldn't they put him in Dallas with Luka?
Because the league is mad at Mark Cuban for saying something.
I mean, right. They're always mad at him for saying something, though. Mm-hmm. He got Luka, though.
Hey, by the way, do you think Wendy
he wasn't the number one pick, but he still got Luka.
Does Wendy get on a plane and come back immediately? Because he's like, hey, the NBA finals are about to happen.
Yes.
I can't take a vacation right away.
Yes. He's already on his way back, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Private jet for Wendy?
No.
Oh, how about if it were Woj? Woj get a private plane?
No.
No private plane for Woj.
Nope. The only private planes at this company are only used when you are literally doing... Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're literally doing something where you are somewhere and have to be somewhere very quickly. And there's no commercial way of getting there.
Oh, really?
For example, during the playoffs, occasionally, Mike Breen and those guys, and by the way, not just them, Mark Jones and Doris and Malika did it recently too. They had a game in LA one day and a game in San Francisco the next day, and they needed to be, and it was an early game. So they try to get there an hour before the game on the first flight or whatever, before their production meeting, and hope to God the commercial flight makes it, or they take a private flight and they get there. They've done that with Breen over the years too, when they have to, you know, do multiple games during the playoffs. Kirk Herbstreit does it when game day is a different place than where his game is.
I see Lewis Riddick on a private plane a lot. Kind of looks like he's traveling for work.
But he probably has his own money to do that, right?
No.
No?
Well, I think when he does it, it was probably when he's doing games though.
Yeah. Well, all I know is this. I give Wendy a lot of credit, because if they would have told me...
But there's no private plane. I mean, the private plane for Lewis Riddick from where he lives to wherever he's got to go is not going to be that much. The private plane from Paris is not cheap, bro.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, if I were Wendy, I'd be like, hey, listen, I'll go, but can I get a couple of days while I'm over there? But in the meantime, you can't, because it's the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference Finals, it's the NBA Finals. If you're Wendy, you got to be in the house. Can I go and interview him, like, after the finals?
Yeah, he left, like, Sunday night. So he was, like, there... In and out within, like, probably, what, 24, 36 hours?
Road warrior.
But, you know, they have those sweet planes, those international, the big planes where they have, like, the lay-down seats and all that. It's like you have your own little suite and a shower and stuff. Like, it's crazy these days.
I've never showered on a plane. George, you showered on a plane?
Never on a plane, no.
Have you been on a plane with a shower, though?
Don't think so.
Me neither.
What? George, I'm surprised.
I mean, George, you're such an uncultured clod. I mean, my goodness, you've never been on a plane without with a shower? What's wrong with you?
Isn't that in the contract?
Right. I mean, what's up?
It's not. Not in the contract.
You should put it in the next one. I have to be on planes with showers. First class, right, not enough.
Coming up next, let's get back to the Lakers. All right? Cappy?
Yeah, I'm down.
One of our friends of the program feels just like you. He's feeling good in the neighborhood, okay, about the Lakers. We'll get to who that is, and we'll get to your thoughts on game one. We'll kind of break this thing down a little bit. What to expect for game two coming up next.